Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, August 20th, 2019. With me today, same as yesterday, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with me. I'd like everyone to know ahead of time, just to manage some expectations for the show today, that John has a bee in his bonnet. So settle in for that. Also with me today to deal with said bee in said bonnet, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, my beekeeping kit is all on. I've got the face mask and the hat and the, you know, the beekeeping stuff. I'm ready.
Also, I have the burn unit standby.
Oh, God.
And the screen mesh suits you, Charlotte. It's totally your color.
Thank you.
So today, the first thing we want to talk about is Apple TV Plus, because we've had a leak about the price. And Charlotte, do you want to walk through what we've heard so far?
Yeah, so Bloomberg News, citing people familiar with the matter, those lovely people, they claimed that Apple is looking at $9.99 a month for Apple TV Plus. Now, regular listeners to this show will probably realize that is the price point we had sort of been assuming all the way along in all our conversations. Mm-hmm. But this is the kind of strongest indication yet that we are right about that.
Well, and the thing about it that I think was, you know, we sort of presumed that all along. And this is as close to official as we've heard. But we are also hearing this after knowing that for $7 a month, Disney wants to give you all the Disney movies and all the Marvel movies and all the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
For $7 a month. So, John.
Over to you, Mr. Yeah.
John, unleash the bees.
I think this is a planned leak. I think it's a trial balloon. I think on the surface, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen Apple try to do.
Whoa.
Wait, which part?
The $9.99 price with a short
of all the
period.
Things. Sorry, of all the things Apple has tried to do in all the years you have followed, used, yes, love Apple, you think this is the craziest?
This is a singular lack of competitive keenness.
Not the Cube, not the iMac, not the iPod sock. This $10 a month.
This.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh my God!
Disney put a shot across Apple's bow at $6.99 a month, as you mentioned, Kelly. With a rich portfolio, Apple's going to have, what, according to the Bloomberg article, 5 shows at launch. Mm-hmm. $9.99 is an incredibly arrogant pricing.
I don't know that it's arrogant as much as it is willfully bloody-minded.
I think arrogant is the right word, actually.
Okay.
What do you think the right word is?
Willful bloody-mindedness. Charlotte thinks you're correct, but I think if they really want to go forward with this at $10 a month with no existing content catalog, like all they're putting out is their own stuff, mm-hmm. right? That's what, at least for very broad definitions of television, we'll say, that's what YouTube was doing. You can rent movies on YouTube and things like that, you know, that YouTube didn't make. But YouTube wants people to pay, I want to say it's $8 a month. I could be wrong about that price. For YouTube's original content, you know, they got Ralph Macchio and Billy Zabka to come back and do Cobra Kai and all that stuff. And like,
well, hang on. There's a lot of YouTube original content that is free.
Yeah.
A lot.
Right. But the stuff that you have to pay for, like, yeah. I don't know anybody that's paying for it. Like, and I know the plural of anecdote is not data, but I don't know anybody paying for it. And so, but YouTube has a lot of other content that is available that you can have access to if you pay for YouTube. And Netflix has loads of content besides the stuff they make that is available if you pay for Netflix. See also Amazon Prime. And so far, we haven't heard anything about what Apple's got in their back pocket that they're going to unleash as part of this plan. Literally, all we know for certain is that there's one TV show because we have a trailer for it.
I'm going to try to cram all this into one title. Disney tosses Apple a crushing strategic maneuver, Apple ignores it. So something like that.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, that's basically what they're doing. They're saying, we're going to go ahead and just forget about competition. We're going to forget about subscription fatigue. We're going to forget about the crushing strategic blow that Disney dealt us. Mm-hmm. We're going to act as if everything is business as usual, and people are going to stand in line to pay $9.99 a month for five shows, for starters.
Well, we talked yesterday about Apple competing on the experience. I mean, that was part of what the iMac was about, was a better experience than what people were getting with what was out there already. And maybe this is the same sort of thing, but like, without knowing anything about your shows.
We talked about it yesterday, the morning show. Shows every sign of being the highest class of production and writing caliber.
Okay.
But still, people are going to be basing their decisions on the things that they love, Kelly, and the quantity of what they can get.
Right. On what I know.
So I think, but also there's another point we're missing here. There's a couple of things. First of all, I'll come back to the why I think John is right about the arrogance thing in a minute. You're also forgetting part of the story that I wrote was that Apple is going to offer a free trial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you quite like the look of the morning show, and I agree, look, we don't know yet. It might be might not be very good, but the trailer looked pretty compelling.
Yeah.
It looked like it had a lot to offer. It kind of had, like I said in the piece, it had a kind of newsroom vibe. It was a bit like that film Late Night with Emma Thompson as well. Like, it had some stuff going for it. And he's got Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon and Steve Carell. So, you know, you're onto a winner already.
Yeah, my review of it yesterday, after having watched the trailer, was that if you had told me this was an HBO show or an Amazon show or, you know, anybody that's existing that's known for putting out really compelling television, I would have totally believed you.
Yeah, it looked pretty compelling. But you can watch that in the free trial.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got to assume it's at least a month, right? A free trial?
I would think so, yeah.
I can't imagine they'll give you 3 months.
Well, Apple Music was 3 months free.
Correct, but I can't imagine they'll do that for TV because you could basically binge watch everything and then never pay for it.
That was a good point.
Yeah, so I can't see them doing that, but I can see them doing a month. In which case, you could, for example, you could easily binge watch this show, the morning show, and then not pay for it. So I just think they've got this wrong, actually. Mm-hmm. I think they're charging too much, as we've all discussed. Like, it is arrogant because they've gone, we're Apple, we charge $9.99 a month for stuff, so obviously everyone's going to pay for it because we're Apple.
Right.
And they're in a whole new game now, and I'm not entirely convinced that they know the game they're playing.
I started off the discussion with the fact that I believe strongly that it's a trial balloon. There's going to be a lot of editorial pushback on this. There's going to be 50 or 70 writers who are going to write an editorial today, including me, of why this is a bad idea. And then Apple is going to digest all this and see what the pulse of the community is and then make a final decision.
Here's my take on this is that...
That's a very generous interpretation.
It really is.
They do that.
I think the only way this works is if there's a second half of the sentence, Apple TV Plus is $9.99 a month. And the second half of that sentence is $9.99 a month if you don't have any other services. But if you subscribe to the thing or the other thing or the other thing or the other thing that all end in plus, then TV Plus is going to be $5 or $6 a month, right? Like, the only way this works is if the $10 a month is by itself. If you don't have anything else from Apple, then it's $10 a month. But if you have Apple Music, you can tack this on for $4 a month. If you have...
Well, that's the kind of clever thing we expected from them, and that's probably what they're going to do.
Right, but we didn't hear anything about that in this leak, and that's part of what I wonder.
The trial balloon was to get people talking about these kinds of things, just as you described, Kelly. I mean, $9.99 a month for Apple TV Plus is absolutely ridiculous. And on the surface of it, it's designed to enrage the community and
you.
People talking, me included.
But, so there's yeah, one
like,
other.
Like before, you said, Kelly, there's going to be different options.
Before we move on from this, because I know we've got other quite big stuff to discuss later in the show, I do think we also need to talk about the second element that was in the story I wrote, which is that there are rumours emerged, and some people have pushed back against them, but there was a story that Apple had now committed $6 billion to original shows. That's up from the kind of $1 billion we already heard about.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds good. You know, I have said many times again on this show, Apple is just not spending enough on original content if it wants to be serious. But even if it's gone to $6 billion, Netflix is now at $15 billion. And other people are saying actually Apple is still spending a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if Apple was going to enrich its portfolio by, say, buying a studio, we would have heard rumors by now. But with the launch this close, it doesn't look like the rumored acquisition of Sony Pictures is going to happen, and Apple's going to go it alone on original content.
Yeah, it seems to be going it alone, but just having kind of partners and, you know, using J.J. Abrams and those kind of people seem to be doing it on their own, but which is fine. But it all, to me, hints of Apple kind of, I'm trying to think of an expression that you can not have to edit out this show, going in a bit half-baked.
Yeah.
And I think, going back to John's point about arrogance, I think you can't do that in this industry. Yeah. It's too competitive.
Especially now.
If Apple goes in half-baked, John will be proved right that this is the craziest thing they've ever done.
Yes. And that includes the iPod Hi-Fi. Yeah, I'm with you 100% because, like, everyone is competing for the same eyeballs, basically. Like, it's not what it used to be when there were, you know, three channels and then four channels, and, like, that was all there was. And if you were, and you were on network TV, or you were nowhere. You know, there wasn't much in the way of local affiliates or anything like that. And you know, everybody's trying to solve the same problem, and it sort of feels like Apple didn't pay much attention to that. And we haven't seen much in the way of people hired by Apple. We've seen them make deals. They made a deal with J.J. Abrams. They made a deal with Oprah. They made deals with other people for the content, but they don't seem to have roped in a bunch of industry people that we know about.
Sorry, can I just jump
like
in
we
a
did
minute?
with music and stuff.
I just want to jump in because at the It's Showtime, you just saying that has really made me think of something.
Yeah.
In the It's Showtime event, it was the Oprah show, wasn't it?
Basically. A billion pockets, y'all. Yeah.
Exactly. It built up to Oprah. She was there with her iPhone backstage doing the videos. Like, it was the Oprah show by the end.
Yeah.
We've not
like,
heard
nobody talked about
thing.
Steven Spielberg being there once everybody saw Oprah. That's correct. Really what happened. Yeah.
J.J. Abrams, Steven Spielberg are there, and no one cared because Oprah was there.
They got Oprah. Yeah.
Yeah. But we haven't heard one thing from Oprah yet.
Nope.
I had another thought of myself.
Yeah.
Right after Disney announced the pricing for Disney Plus, the source, not the bundle, but just Disney Plus, lots of surveys were done of people asking them how likely they were to subscribe, and the numbers were impressive.
Yeah.
I saw one survey of 1,000 people who suggested 60% of the people were going to subscribe to Disney Plus at $6.99 a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
$6.99 a month.
Yeah.
We haven't seen any surveys based on this rumor because it's so fresh. But I'd be interested in seeing a survey of a random, you know, 1,000 Apple customers. How many of you plan to spend $9.99 a month on this for five shows?
Well, they still don't have Princesses and Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, really, that's what it comes down to. Would you pay $7 a month for every movie you remember enjoying as a child? I know somebody who, when the pricing came out, said, I will happily pay $7 a month not to have to swap in and out the Lion King DVD 8 times a day.
Yeah.
So, right off the top, like, they're solid. So,
well, there's that parenthood thing with, you know, children nagging their parents and parents feeling comfortable and cozy with providing quality Disney content to their kids. And there's a lot of family tradition there.
Yeah.
Of movies on the bookshelf that they, like you said, roll out and play 8 times a day. So subscribing to Disney is like apple pie and American flag. So Apple's got to compete against that mentality as well with content that is not necessary, which is unknown and untested.
Exactly. And they have no library, which is the thing I'm still super hung up on. I want to look forward to it, but there's no, once I watch all Apple shows, then what? This is the question I'm going to have until it rolls out and we see it.
Can we wager that $9.99 a month with the 30-day free trial won't be the final decision by Apple?
I won't take that bet because I'm 100% convinced that there will be more than one price point. If you only subscribe to TV, it's some number. If you subscribe to any other service, it will be less than that. So that's my take.
Which people will squirm and wiggle about too, because if people don't want to, if people already are Spotify customers and they don't want to subscribe to Apple Music.
Or Arcade Plus, you know, we'll get you stuff. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, you're gonna feel strong-armed no matter what. You're gonna feel gouged and strong-armed unless Apple handles this very intelligently.
Yeah, and honestly, at this point, I don't have a whole lot of faith in that. I want to, but I don't right now. So we'll see how it goes. John and Charlotte and I'll look forward to your letters. And right now, I would like to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor today. Our sponsor is My Wall Street. If you've tried to get started investing in the stock market, you know that brokers make it really easy for you to hand over your money and start putting it into the stock market. They don't really tell you much about if you're making good decisions or give you good education about what you can do to make sure that your decisions are better informed. Are you close to getting a return? Are these stocks you should be investing in? Like, most brokers aren't really interested in that. So you go online, you look for some information, and you just get overwhelmed with information. And it's really easy to find all opinions on the spectrum. And then it becomes really easy to give up and not end up messing with it at all. My Wall Street can help you change that. They have a short list of stocks. Their investors have spent hours and hours researching this list. Some of these stocks have grown fivefold since making the cut, getting on this list. And My Wall Street is not a brokerage. So they offer you simplified investing information, and it's much more like having an investing companion than an investment broker. And as a TDO listener, you can access the entire app, all the advice, all of the useful tips, all this short list of stocks for free for 30 days instead of the usual 7. The way you do that is to go to mywallstreet.com/TDO. That's mywallst.com/TDO. Download the app and you can access all the guidance and all the tips, like I said, and you can continue along that path with them for $9.99 a month. And I would like to thank My Wall Street for sponsoring the show today. Now, our other topic is an interesting hire, interestingly enough, made by Microsoft. John, you want to talk us about it?
Well, Charlotte wrote the story, so I'll let her lead in.
All right, Charlotte.
Well, yeah, so I picked up on a story from the information that Bill Stasio, who until I think it was May this year, led the Siri team at Apple. He led a big expansion, as we know, from 2012. Think how much the Siri product has expanded. He was leading that. He led, obviously, a lot of expansion of the team that was working on the product as well. He left in May 2019, and we will hear shortly John's theory about why. And he has now, after a little brief hiatus working as an executive advisor, joined Microsoft. And it's a very senior role. He's leading an AI group. He's a corporate senior vice president. He's going to report directly, as it's understood, to the CTO at Microsoft. You have to say it's a good hire from Microsoft,
yes,
who have got a very, very serious leader in AI on their team. But yeah, it throws up a look. There's always a bit of a roundabout in Silicon Valley with these guys, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
we know this, that, you know, next week we could be reporting on a story that a very senior guy has gone from Microsoft to Apple. It happens.
Right.
But it's interesting. It shows again how seriously Microsoft is trying to take AI. You could question that it was, even though he was there for a long time, was it very good that Apple lost Bill Stasio? There's some interesting things these last few months have thrown up.
John, go.
Well, I have a theory about this. I seem to recall that when Apple hired John Jandrea as a senior vice president of machine learning and AI strategy, kind of pushing Bill down in the hierarchy.
Mm-hmm. They hired him from Google.
Yeah, I came from Google.
Yeah, this
Google
guy came from Google. Yeah,
he has a PhD, I think, or maybe it's an honorary PhD, if I can read the Latin correctly. But he's got academic credentials. He's founded two technology companies, and he was a senior engineer at General Magic. So he's got a lot of experience in AI. And there was a time, in maybe the fall of 18 or spring of 19, when we kind of got wind of the idea that Siri was not keeping up with Amazon's Alexa and its flexibility and abilities. So that kind of told me that Apple was dissatisfied with the progress of Siri and in face of the competition. Then we heard that John Jandrea was brought in and made a senior vice president. Mm-hmm. And shortly afterwards, Bill Stasi left Apple in May of 19. And
yeah, John Jandrea started in April 18, didn't he?
I don't remember the exact date.
I think there was probably about a year where they were both at Apple.
What's curious about this is that I've seen this at Apple before, where Apple has its ways, Apple has constraints, and yet Apple expects its vice presidents to succeed even in the face of apparent constraints or cultural limitations. Mm-hmm. And they expect you to figure out how to succeed anyway. And if you don't do that, then you get on the bad side of Phil Schiller and Tim Cook.
Now, I would like to point out for people who may not know this, that John did work at Apple for a time. So John's not making this up. This is something.
This is
firsthand observation that while John was there, this is where this conclusion comes from. Just for people to go, like, how do you know what goes on inside Apple? Like, at one point you did because you were inside. So
Apple gives its vice presidents a lot of responsibility, but sometimes maybe they think not enough authority.
Okay.
Because as soon as you give vice presidents authority, they start doing things their own way and then they get in trouble.
Sure, sure.
And lots of vice presidents have come and gone from Apple for that reason. So I think Stasi decided he was going to leave, went off to another company for a while, and then Microsoft picked him up for his expertise. Mm-hmm. So that's my theory.
Now, I just have to share this because I did read it yesterday in some of the discussion of this hire. And one of the ones that made me chuckle was he got hired at Microsoft, but Microsoft had to ask him four times before he understood, which I thought was kind of funny. So yeah, I wish I could remember who that was so I could attribute it to them, but thank you, person with the hottest take yesterday on this that made me laugh.
It's a good hot take, but I think my hot take is that actually this is a pretty serious hire by Microsoft. I'm not saying that it directly means that Apple is now, you know, falling behind in the AI space, or the Siri's going to crumble and fall. That clearly isn't the case. But it is interesting that, you know, how seriously it appears Microsoft is taking AI. And I think they're right too. And, you know, we've heard lots of bits about Apple in AI and autonomous vehicles and homes. So there's all sorts of bits within that space and the extended space that Apple is getting involved in.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, we're not hearing Microsoft as part of that conversation most of the time.
Yeah, we hear a lot about Alexa's capabilities and Google Assistant.
A-Lady, we call her A-Lady, John.
But we don't talk a lot about the stellar capabilities of Cortana.
Right.
This may play into that.
Well, and we don't, exactly. Like, not many people, I think, know much about those. I mean, it's not like there's a ton of Windows phones. And I think it's still kind of an odd experience to talk to a computer. For most people, like, I don't have Siri enabled on any of my computers. Like,
I have Siri on my. Yeah, there we go.
Like, I could, but I don't have her enabled on my computers because if I want to invoke the S-Lady assistant, I do it you know, on my phone or on my watch. I don't generally do it anywhere else. Those are the ones that do the most processing. If there's something I'm missing out on, I look forward to your letters. But whenever we talk about not, you know, even like the machine learning or the AI kind of stuff, like the companies we talk about are Apple and Google, or Apple and Amazon, or sometimes Apple and Amazon and Google, and Microsoft is there's never a fourth in those conversations. It's always just sort of these Microsoft. Three duking it out. So I think this is an exciting hire because it means that Microsoft means it. Yeah. And I want to see what happens when they try to ramp up Cortana with Feeling. And it seems like this is a good way to do that.
Yeah. And also, we don't know it's directly Cortana. It could be a bunch of other products that are going to start involving AI capability. But I think you're right. It does mean that Microsoft may now be in the conversation, whereas I totally agree with you that thus far they have not been.
Like, we're never talking about them. We're never talking about Cortana. We're never talking about what Microsoft is doing in this space. And I'm excited to make them part of the conversation because I don't know a lot about what they're doing. I would like to. And if you do know, or if you have tips on how we can find out, you can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, or my favorite, you can leave a comment in the show notes and have a discussion with other people as well as us. We'll see where this ends up. I think it'll be fun. And I will be really excited to have both of you and your related bees back to discuss it. So, Charlotte, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. I'm going to buzz off.
John, as always, it's been a delay having you with me. Thank you for coming.
Well, thanks for having me.
And it's my favorite day when we walk into the meeting and John says he has a bee in his bonnet. It makes me so happy because we can come on the show and discuss it. So, thank you very much for being here today. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for joining us. My name is Kelly Gamont. I've been your host today. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.